And now we turn to another reporter in Baghdad, Ian Fisher of the New York Times. Ian Fisher, you wrote about an Iraqi insurgent fighter last week in the largely Sunni city of Hawija. First, he didn't seem to be completely reticent about being interviewed, I gather.
No, although that's kind of a new thing. I mean, we've been trying for some time to talk to some of these people, and it's been very hard, especially for an American. But this guy, he was, I can't say he actually approached us, but it didn't take much time. We talked to a local journalist who talked to him, and there he was, ready to talk to us.
From what he told you, I know this was impossible to verify, but did he describe actually taking part in attacks on U.S. forces?
No, he didn't. He was a little reticent about that. He was willing to talk about their great victories and all of the Americans they killed, but when the subject came to him precisely, he sort of shied away. Maybe it was self-protective. I don't know. He didn't seem to trust us entirely.
How did he describe the organization that he works with?
Well, he describes it much as the American military describes it, which is a bunch of sort of loosely organized, sort of small cells around the area. I mean, he said he belonged to a cell of about 15 people who, you know, organized attacks and funded themselves and, you know, bought or stole their own weapons. And they communicated with other groups, but didn't necessarily, you know, sort of work together with them or on any orders from them.
And did you have the impression that you were talking with someone who felt in danger and felt that U.S. forces might crack down on him at any moment, or someone who seemed pretty confident of his situation?
Well, I have to tell you, it was a strange mix. I mean, I spoke to him in a cemetery, and he was quite paranoid about U.S. Humvees or helicopters coming. And he was holding a hand grenade at the time. So we were standing there, and he kept looking for Humvees or someone coming up the road. On the other hand, I have to say, his general mood was not troubled at all. I mean, he sort of felt pretty much free to move around and didn't seem bothered there were Americans always breathing down their necks.
Did he describe losing any comrades to American forces in these recent months?
He did. In fact, that was the sort of striking thing about it. He said he had a cell of about 15 people now, but they'd lost 10 people. And in fact, he took us to the cemetery specifically to show us, you know, the graves of a number of the people who had died after attacking American soldiers.
Did his motivation seem to be more nationalistic or more religious?
It wasn't clear exactly. I mean, he talked a lot about religion, but according to my translator, he didn't seem that religious and didn't have his sort of religious phrases, you know, down pat. He talked a bit about Saddam, but said very clearly they weren't fighting for Saddam. I have to say, at the end of the day, it seemed some combination of religious, but also just wanting the Americans out.
Do you think this man whom you were interviewing was, in his mind, addressing an American public, which, if it turns against the war upon hearing such things and hearing the fighter speak or reading his comments in your paper, do you think that was the idea, that he's trying to do political work on the home front?
Yes, definitely. He was very interested that we were from the New York Times. He'd heard of it. He knew that it was big, and he kept saying, I have a message for the world. People have to, you know this and know that, you know that we're not going to give up, you know that Americans can't rule us. He was pretty savvy that way.
Ian Fisher, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Reporter Ian Fisher of the New York Times spoke to us from Baghdad, as did earlier Michael Ware of Time magazine.